maybe catch up with Israel. They've been taking land, they've been taking cities, but as we've seen, they've gotten lazy. And as we saw last week, seven of the tribes had not yet taken their possession, even though it had already been allocated. And all of chapter, the rest of chapter 18, the rest of chapter 19 is the allocation of the land to the various tribes. And as we read in the book of Judges, they didn't do what they were told to do. They didn't drive out all the inhabitants, but instead they started making leagues with them, which became a thorn in their side. So in the midst of all that, God reminds Joshua now that in strategic places throughout the promised land, he wants them to set aside these cities of refuge. And it's beautiful because there's so many spiritual pictures in here. So this, Joshua 20 verse 1, the Lord also spake unto Joshua saying, speak to the children of Israel saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. When he that doth flee into one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come into his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. So tonight we talk about the city of refuge. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would learn tonight and just be reminded how blessed we are to have fled to our Savior for refuge from the slayer. And I pray, Lord, that it would just encourage us, what you've done for us through Jesus. And Lord, how you protect us, watch over us, bless us. We are so blessed as your people. So, Lord, I pray that we would truly walk away blessed in our hearts by you through your word. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So, a city of refuge, very beautiful word there, isn't it? And what we find is they were to be, we read back when Moses was originally given this command, that they were to be in not only strategic locations, but they were to be up on the top of a mountain or a hill, so they would be easy to find, easy to access. And when you think about Jesus, what did he say? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. And of course, the Bible teaches whosoever will, all through the Bible, whosoever will may come. But in verse 3, it says, if he killed any person unawares and unwittingly. Remember that the Jews and the Old Testament Bible days were all about revenge. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You know, if somebody kills my child or my spouse or my parent, I'm going to get even. I'm going to find them and I'm going to kill them. And that's just the way things went. And everybody was okay with it. They didn't get accused of a crime for doing that. It's just the way things worked. It was all about getting even, getting revenge. Of course, it's not the way it is for Christians. Amen. We're told not to render evil for evil all through the New Testament. But this is the way it was. And notice it's unawares, unwittingly. In other words, people accidentally kill people sometimes, don't they? It's just, it's a fact. And especially in Bible days, it would be easy for, say, an axe to fly off its handle and hit someone in the head and kill them. Or, you know, there's many ways that someone could be accidentally killed by someone else. And it really wasn't their fault. That's what it means when it says unawares and unwittingly. So it wasn't their fault, but it was their problem. Amen? And when you think about us, we're born sinners. Is that our fault, that we're born sinners? Well, it is what it is. So a person could say, well, it's not my fault, I was born a sinner, but it's definitely your problem, isn't it? You definitely got to deal with it. You are going to sin, and you have sinned, and you have broken God's laws. Yes, you might have been born that way, but it's something you've got to deal with. It's your problem. And this person could just say, well, it was an accident. Doesn't matter. The family member is going to come after you, and they're going to seek revenge. You know, the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. We are all born sinners. We are responsible to deal with that issue, that we are sinners, because one day we're going to meet the judge who is holy. And if you don't have forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to be in serious trouble. You're going to face the great white throne judgment. But it says that he was to flee there. He was to find the nearest. Obviously, they would know where they were. He was to go to the nearest city of refugees, to get there as fast as he can, maybe jump on a horse, maybe he can run really fast, whatever. But he's going to flee thither for refuge. Amen? Because the avenger is going to come after him. And so they already know where these cities are. He's going to flee there. I like that word flee. If you go to Hebrews 6:18, God says that you and I, who have been born again, have done that very thing with Jesus. This city of refuge pictures our Savior. Look at Hebrews 6:18. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. The day that we got saved, we fled to Jesus for refuge, didn't we? We fled there. I hope everyone in this room can say I fled there. But I fled to Jesus for refuge. The wages of sin is death, we're taught. And to be saved, you've got to run to Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. He is the only refuge. And we must flee there. Jesus says, come unto me. Amen. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But God, if you go to Psalm 46:1, God himself puts himself forward as our refuge. A refuge is a place to escape from revenge, to escape from the avenger, to escape from someone chasing us down, wanting to kill us. Notice Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So not only is he our refuge when it comes to the slayer, which we'll talk about here in a moment, but he's also our refuge for the rest of our Christian life, a place to run to, a place to hide. He says, I'm here. I'm your God. I'm your Father now. Run to me. I'll be your refuge. I'll be your protector. But specifically here it says in verse 3, from the avenger of blood. So in Old Testament days, they would flee because they knew the avenger was going to come after them. Blood for blood. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. Well, you know who the avenger is today? The devil. Amen? Look at 1 Peter 5:8. And as you turn there, think about Job. God started the conversation, but Job is the one that made the accusation. And what was the accusation? God, the only reason he serves you is because you keep blessing him. If you take away all these blessings, he'll curse you to your face. That was the accusation made by the devil, wasn't it? 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's seeking. He's after us. And our refuge is God. Hallelujah. And then look at Revelation 12:10. Revelation 12:10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Who's the accuser of our brothers and sisters? The devil. And again, we get a small glimpse of it in the book of Job, where he said to God, if you'll take away his health, if you'll take away his family, if you'll take away his living, he'll curse you to your face. Satan was wrong, praise God. But he has, according to Scripture, he's been accusing our brethren day and night. Aren't you thankful for the high priest who intercedes for us? Every time the devil tries to accuse, Jesus says, here's the prints of the nails in my hand. Amen. I paid for that sin. It's covered by the blood. It's forgiven. That's one of my justified children. So your accusation doesn't mean anything. We're told when he left this earth, what did he go to heaven to do? But to what? To be our advocate, to be our intercessor, to be our high priest. He sits on the right hand of the Father and intercedes for us. This is how God chose for it to be. But the devil, up until Revelation 12, when his access to heaven is revoked, so it hasn't even happened yet, because it's halfway through the tribulation period. Up until then, he has been our accuser. So praise God, Jesus has been our intercessor. So what does he do when he gets to the city? Verse 4, it says he'll declare his cause. Amen? When you fled to Jesus because the accuser was chasing you, the adversary, the lion was after you, and you fled to Jesus, what did you do? You confessed with your mouth. Amen? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. We say, I'm wrong. God is right. That's what repentance is. It's a change of mind. It's acknowledging my path is wrong. My path leads to hell. God's path is the only way. Jesus is the only way. And I confess that to be true. That he is the Lord. He is my Savior. And what do the people of the city do? Take him into the city. Amen? They take him into the city. So again, this pictures none other than our Savior. When we come and plead our cause, Lord, you died for me, you rose again for me, I'm a wicked sinner, I don't deserve heaven, but thank you for dying for me, I believe it was for me, and I ask you to save me and forgive me my sins. I ask you to give me eternal life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at John 6:47. When we ask, Jesus answers. And you know what? The answer is always yes with Jesus. Hallelujah. Whenever people come to Jesus, when they flee to him, it's that city of refuge, they're being chased by the devil who wants them to go to hell. They plead their cause and Jesus always lets them in. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Don't you love that? Jesus, as the city of refuge, has never kicked anyone out. He's never said, come in, I'm going to cast you out now. He doesn't do that. You're in John 6, look at verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Jesus always gives us a place. Amen? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. He gives us a place. But you know what? Jesus always goes further. Amen? He's given us, here on earth, a temporary stay, if you will. But we don't have our place yet. Our place awaits us, like we talked about this morning. John chapter 14, turn over there. Jesus here encouraging his disciples in the upper room before he goes to the garden. Some of the things he said have got them quite upset. They don't understand a lot of it. And so he says to them, let not your heart be troubled. Calm down, guys. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So Jesus goes further. We are placed into Him at salvation, but we also have what? A home in heaven waiting for us. That's why God says in 1 Peter, we'll turn over there, 1 Peter 2:11, that you and I are just strangers and pilgrims. We are just passing through. Like this, the hymn says, this world is not my home. We're strangers and pilgrims. The day we got saved, we become strangers to this old world. We just became pilgrims just on a journey headed to a new place. And that place is God's place. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So Jesus is that city. We flee to Him. We plead our cause. He welcomes us in, hallelujah, and promises to protect us from the avenger, from the slayer, from the accuser of our brethren. It says in verse 4 of our passage, He may dwell among them. I like that. I mean, yeah, this person has to be willing to start a new life. Just like we had to be willing to start a new life when we trusted Christ. Amen. We became a new creature. We got a new home. We got new goals. Everything changed. The Bible says we were created unto good works. Ephesians 2:10. We had to be willing to say, I'm starting over. And of course, who could do better? And then to start over with Jesus. It says in verse 5, and if the avenger of the blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand. The devil's powerful, but we are weaker, but with Jesus we're more powerful. Remember, Jesus created the devil. Amen? Jesus is on our side. And if the Lord be with us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8, 35, if you would, talks about all of our spiritual enemies and how not one of them can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Look at Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. That includes the devil, by the way. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We have been delivered from the slayer. Hallelujah. So we aren't to fear him. We're to trust Jesus. It says, finally, verse 6, until the death of the high priest. Well, our high priest died, but our high priest rose again. Amen. Hebrews chapter 7, look there, verse 25. Which, again, reminds us that we are safe and secure in Jesus Christ. We're children of God. We have eternal life. We're placed into Christ. We're kept by the power of God, not our own power. Hebrews 7, 25. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That is our high priest. Amen. Hallelujah. So what a blessing that when we fled to Jesus Christ for refuge, he said, come in. I welcome you. You don't need to fear that avenger anymore. You don't need to fear that accuser anymore, that slayer, that lion. Come on in, I will protect you. Isn't that good? He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I know whom I believe, Paul said, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:12. So our city of refuge, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That he welcomed us with open arms. And you know, he's going to do it again, because we read about where Stephen was martyred in Acts chapter 7 at the end of the chapter. As he was dying, God gave him a glimpse of heaven. And Jesus wasn't seated at the right hand, he was standing. Isn't that beautiful? Remember, time means nothing to God. It's like, well, what if 1,000 people died at the same time? So, that doesn't mean anything to God. And I believe that what we see there in Acts 7 is Jesus saying, welcome home. Yes, he's seated at the right hand as our intercessor, but he stood as Stephen was dying. And God gave Stephen that glimpse. So one day, Jesus is going to say, welcome home. Amen? Welcome home. That city of refuge, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful truth. Thank you for being our refuge. Thank you for protecting us from the devil. Thank you for welcoming us into your fold and one day welcoming us into heaven. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that we would tell people this great truth, that they can also flee to you and be saved and be protected from the accuser, the avenger, the lion that's after them. We just thank you that we have you.